Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Down with the king topic of the day, and it is Pete Alonso and the Mets. And we started this show talking about what Andy Martino of SNY said on Mets Hot Stove last night on SNY, and that the Mets and Alonso still have quite a distance between them. This off of the report last week that Jim Duquette had, that saying Scott Boras, Alonso's camp went to the Mets with a 3-year offer that was exclusive to the Mets, which led us to thinking, well, what the hell's going on? If it's only a 3-year deal, why the hesitation? Well, there is an update here, BT, and a lengthy one at that, and I suggest you go to SNY.tv and read the article by Andy Martino that just came out a little while ago in the 11 o'clock hour. And there's a lot there, including the fact that the Mets have talked to the Blue Jays about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Before you read it.
Did you read this yet?
I'm all up to speed, of course. Yes. I'm going to let you deliver because you start. But before you read it, I think this is the most interesting Mets tweet this entire offseason, not pertaining to Soto. This is very interesting.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... But doesn't this show you then their line of thinking? Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, and I'm just going to try to... I just read the article, but I'm going to try to give you the bullet points the best that I can without delaying while reading this whole thing. Steve Cohen fully supports... This is the first sentence from the article. Steve Cohen fully supports David Stern's approach. Among many alternatives, the Mets have checked in on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Mets and Alonso still nowhere as time is getting short. Plenty of room left in the budget for the Mets. They need to improve their roster. They're not going to wait forever for a resolution on their long-term first baseman. Stearns is still looking to sign at least one reliever, quite possibly from the top of the market, and a hitter. Martino, according to league sources, Stearns and the Mets are holding the line on both length and dollars of their short-term offer, which includes an opt-out after the first year.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We didn't know that specifically.
Did not know that. Wow.
Okay.
So they get opt-out for Pete, right? Obviously.
Yes, with an opt-out after the first year. I would assume.
That's important.
It's a good question. The Mets are holding a line on length and dollars of their short-term offer, which includes an opt-out after the first year. I'm not sure if that's...
It's got to be his. There's no way it's the Mets. Yeah,
the exact dollar figure is not known. Cohen is fully supporting Stern's approach. We went over that. Blah, 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 blah. He talks about the Mets do like Pete as a person and a player and a Met. They do want him to return next season. They hope for a quick resolution.
But a quick resolution has been months.
But I mean, it's not just the Mets are trying, but I guess.
Are they?
Well, I mean, according to this report, the Mets are, they're interested in Pete. They like Pete as a player and a person, but they're not going to bend on what their line is. What that is, I don't know. But again, Martino just said the Mets are holding the line on both the length and dollars of their short-term offer. We don't have the details of that.
Yeah,
but
it might be in line with the 3 years, 90 mil from Baerga.
It includes an opt-out after the first year.
That's interesting.
I would think that it's less than that 3 for 90. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Why would you think that?
Just because Pete's got to be, at this point, like, how could he not take the 3 for 90?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or unless he's just negotiating. It's clearly the best offer he's going to have.
Yes, so far. Nobody's even needed. No, I don't think there is another offer.
Okay, I just want to get some of the other good stuff here. The Mets' most likely alternative to Alonso.
By the way, if you're reading that, let me tell you one thing that jumps out to me, because there's a lot there, and it's very, very interesting. So to me, the part, and Steve Cohen fully supports David Stern's approach, the thought that Cohen's going to step in and let sentimentality maybe overrule his GM, that's out the window. He's letting Stearns cook.
Yes, and which is a huge point.
It's huge. To me, it's the biggest point, that and the Vladdy stuff.
Because
and the
opt-out time-
after 1 year. That's new. But to me, like, now I think, I don't know what percentage, but I think that there's a faction of Met fans who are, and I even kind of thought this could be possible, who was sitting there saying, all right, it seems pretty bleak now, but Stevie will make sure that, you know, this gets done. It doesn't seem like he's going to usurp Stearns' plan.
Bingo. The fact that Cohen would jump in and get involved and say, just get this done, that doesn't seem to be the case. Among the many options for the Mets to replace Alonso in the lineup, Jesse Winker, very possible, which, by the way, that should be in addition.
Jesse Winker?
Yeah, they need to get it. I don't like him either. Or I shouldn't say I don't like him.
No, I like him as a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, exactly. Or a part-time DH.
Yep.
Anthony Santander seems less likely, okay, according to Martino. Yep. Here we go. This is what gets me going.
Mm. Got something you like?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. looms as the most intriguing, if far from the most likely. The Mets have spoken with the Toronto Blue Jays this winter about Guerrero, league sources say, though those sources characterize the conversations as checking in. Martino, again, to be clear as possible, it is far from certain, and he says this remains, Mets and Guerrero fit remains in the realm of fantasy baseball. It's far from certain that Guerrero will even be available in a trade or that the Mets will even have room left in the budget after signing other hitters and relievers. League sources who have spoken with Toronto this month say the club is still weighing whether to extend their first baseman. Guerrero recently set a deadline for the first full day of spring training, saying that he'll cut off extension talks at that point.
Okay.
That's huge to
me. Okay.
Because, see, we're still in a spot where Toronto wants to keep Guerrero, and they're talking about extensions, but it may not happen. And if it doesn't happen by the first day of spring training, then Guerrero's not going to have those extension talks.
Mm-hmm.
Then Toronto knows that he's going to hit free agency.
And most likely bounce at that point.
You would think.
Yeah, I would think.
Which would then say that maybe they're going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
Which if they do trade him during spring training, during the season, you better make sure you keep your options open to be in play for Vladimir Guerrero.
Still a dangerous game, though.
Hey.
I'm not saying it's the wrong game, but you got to make sure you're right on that one. Otherwise, you got nobody playing first base.
If the Jays don't lock him up, there'll be no shortage of Guerrero Met speculation over the year. Again, I'm reading from Andy Martino, SNY.TV. Check out the column. It's a must-read for Met fans.
That's a lot of information.
Well.
That's good. That's a good report right there.
Last line here. Let's see. Alonso was the slugger with whom the Mets are engaged in talks. Perhaps it will result in an agreement soon. But if it goes the other way, a whole other world of possibilities will open.
Which I know is more appealing to you. Understood.
Well, I want Pete back. And I've been saying there are no other good options available that we know of. And that was under the assumption that Toronto was not going to trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this year. Which still might be the case. But it might not be.
I hear you.
And if you're asking me what irrational Sal Licata wants this team to be great now, not in the future. No patience. I've had enough of the patience.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, would I rather go into the season with Mauricio and Beatty at third and Vientos at first with the idea of holding out for Vlad,
mm-hmm,
or extend Pete now and be taken out of the Vlad mix? I'm waiting for Vlad.
You are.
I'm waiting for Vlad.
You are.
Because I think it's a realistic possibility, because if it does hit free agency,
mm-hmm,
they're going to be in play.
I thought you were going to go the other way.
No.
A little surprise there. Because you said for a while, like, hey, listen, you get Soto, that's great, but if you do nothing else, what are we doing? So then that would constitute doing nothing else until maybe they do something monstrous, which could happen, but it could not.
It also could happen
during the spring?
Yes.
Like going into the season before the
season.
Yeah.
But you could survive to the point we saw what the Yankees did last year. Or even all these teams are talking about, the Yankees didn't do enough this offseason yet, but doesn't mean that they can't make a big move at the trade deadline, right?
Yes. Let me throw something at you that this might be overthinking it, and it will be incredibly gangsta, and it will be incredibly ruthless on the part of the Mets. I wouldn't rule it out. So, based on how the Mets extended themselves for Soto, everybody out there that's going to get in a negotiation down the road with somebody they really covet knows if Cohen wants somebody, he's probably going to get him. So, you know, you could just gently communicate, maybe by a third person, you know, to Toronto, hey, listen, guys, no matter what you do, we're coming $100 million more. And if we've got to come more than that, we will. We want him. if that message is ever delivered to Toronto, don't you think that that almost necessitates on their end the need to, or at least the increased odds of them trading right. him?
Like,
because they know they're going to lose the game at the end to Cohen, or strongly think you are, like with a threat. I mean, you have to present it the right way. But basically, you do what I said you do. Toronto might have to say, geez, I mean, they're coming for our guy. Let's get five prospects while we can.
If you want a player and you have the player and you want to keep him, best not let him go to free agency if Steve Cohen wants him to. That's the idea.
My point.
Right. So the Mets could go to Toronto. They would never say this, but let me just play it out.
Like this. Okay. Yeah.
No, but this would be the greatest
thing
ever.
They might.
You can trade him to us now, or you could lose him to us later.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll give you some prospects now if you like.
Yeah.
Help you out
sure.
in the process.
Yeah, we'll
you
make
get
it
the
work
prospects,
both ways. Yeah.
And we get him now, or you could keep him for this year. Then.
This is interesting.
Then we're going to get him.
That's a hell of a tweet by Martino. That's good.
That's a whole column
good
that
information.
He just wrote up. He had the good info last night on Hot Stove, and now that.
Okay.
There's a lot to it. Does that make it, that at least makes it feel a little more, like you could understand why they haven't extended for Pete yet with that being in play. Also, not to be overlooked in that article by Martino, still looking at a high-end reliever and a hitter. Now, I don't know if that's in addition to, but I would think that it is. I don't think the Mets are just going to bring Pete back and that's it. Mm-hmm. They still need a DH. So it could be Pete plus Winker, or it could be Guerrero plus Winker. Like,
sure.
The DH is going to be a lesser, could even be Marte for now.
It could be maybe a kid. It could be Beatty. Yeah. I mean, if he hits 350 in the spring, I mean, who knows?
I'm fine with, like, especially if they get Guerrero, then you're fine with, all right, whatever you want to do with DH and figure it out. If you feel like you need that at the deadline, go get one. Like, that's not imperative. It would be nice, but it's not imperative. What is imperative is another big bat. And it sounds like, and by the way, if they get him at their price, BT, it could also be Pete at their price, which also keeps them in play for Vlad. I don't know that to be the case, but if it's at their price and there's an opt-out after 1 year or it's a short-term, two years, whatever, minimal money, then maybe the Mets do say, okay, well, we'll still be in on Guerrero and we can just move Pete to DH next year.
All right, something quick. I gotta say that I got to pull Hoffman. He just said something in my ear that he's got to tell everybody. I'm going to let him do it, but real fast on this. So
we have news?
No, an opinion that I think he needs to deliver on the air. He's got it. We'll get you in a sec, Hop. The reason why this information from Andy is so interesting to me is because I really did feel that at the end of the day, Cohen was going to let emotion get in the way. You could tell me about pursuing Vlad and not Santander and the extra bat and a bullpen arm. I think that's all plausible. But the one thing that I was kind of basing, not all, but a big chunk of my thought that he would return is that Cohen would flex on his own. Not only flex on his own guy, but be like, hey, Dave, I get it. I know it's a little bit against what you think from a baseball philosophical point of view. Get it done. He's important to me. He's important to the fans. Get this done. I don't feel like that anymore.
And don't you think this is the right way?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
I do.
Hoff, go ahead.
Say exactly what you said.
If I'm correct, I said they're trying to be too cute. The Mets are missing the playoffs this season. Like the way that they're going this offseason, they're missing the playoffs.
Elaborate.
Well, they're being too cute. Look at the pitching staff. First of all, we've seen that they're done. Like Kodai Senga is back, and that's their addition to Sean Manaea. I mean, they have a bunch of four, five,
they got Montas.
And six. Exactly.
And Clay Holmes.
Right, exactly. They got a bunch of scrubs in the rotation, but they got a lot of them. They got Soto. I'm not telling you that Soto's not an amazing player, but now they're basically not looking for Alonso. They're going to let him walk because he wants too much money. They're not going to make the trade for Vlad because we've all seen them say that they don't want to give their prospects up. So they're going to be cute. They're going to move people around. They didn't add anything to this team whatsoever. The bullpen's crap. Dude, they're not doing anything.
It's a very incomplete offseason, so there's no question about that so far.
Why don't you take a break from listening to the show and read that article? I mean,
I don't have to anymore.
Yeah, but he said there's still, Andy reported that the Mets are still looking at a
Jesse
reliever.
Winker.
No, a reliever, potentially high-end reliever, and another bad. You're missing the big play here. Would you be more excited? You would not be more excited about Vlad Guerrero Jr. than Pete Alonso?
Next year? Oh, yeah, great. Vlad Guerrero Jr. next year.
No, what if they trade for him
now? They're not going to do it. You know the team. You know David Stearns. He's not. They just talked about their prospects. They're not just going to go and give up five prospects for a rental that they have to go and sign.
No. I think here's how it would play out. Use some common sense here. If for whatever reason Vlad Guerrero Jr. is not available, whether the Blue Jays decide to keep him or the Mets don't want to give up enough what it takes to get him, then they're going to bring Pete back. Like, I think the Mets have this going. The Mets are doing the right thing here. They have many balls in the air, many options here. They just got to hit the right button at the right time. Right.
But I think to Hop's point, there's no guarantee that they will. Like, I think their plan is apparent.
The music stops, they're not going to have a chair.
I mean, it happens sometimes to, you know, I mean, and they've had a very incomplete offseason so far outside of Soto.
Let's say worst case scenario, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signs an extension with the Blue Jays, he's off the table.
But when would that happen? I don't think it's going to, the deadline.
He gave the deadline.
Okay, continue your thoughts. So if he goes back to Toronto, 8 years, 9, 10 years in Toronto, what do the Mets do?
Then they
probably pivot to Pete.
Correct.
But what if Pete says, screw you?
Well, maybe at that point, they're going to have to extend their price a little bit. Right now, they're holding their line because they still believe, as likely or unlikely as it may be, they still believe Guerrero Jr. is an option. Until he's not, he is an option. So once he's not, then maybe the Mets have to acquiesce a little bit and come up on their offer and get it done for Pete because now they're at a more desperate point. Maybe. I don't know, but I'm just using some
common sense. Stearns model is, I'm going to go as cheap as possible, and you have to come down to my price, and if not, then we'll move on.
And I love that. Why don't you like that?
Well, you got to adjust to the market.
But no, listen, they did.
A little bit.
What was the market on Juan Soto?
No, I mean the New York market versus Milwaukee.
Well, right, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the other thing, too. Like, we've talked about the market, right, for Pete Alonso. There is none. What was the market on Juan Soto before things started? We all talked about, $700 million is unrealistic. He's not going to get that paid debt. It turned 765, it's going to be $800 million because they wanted the player. They don't want Pete Alonso. He's never going to come down short enough for David Stern's liking. I don't even know if they've offered a three-year deal.
Do we even know that? They do want him. They do like him, just not enough to overpay for Pete Alonso. And what the market says he's worth, they don't need to overpay, at least not yet. They like other options better. I don't think there's any shame in
it. I hope someone from the KBO calls up and says, you know what? We have an opening. Pete, come over here. We'll give you the money.
I'll tell you, I'm getting to the point now where if I'm Pete, I'm getting spiteful. He's going to get wind of this report, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's not going to sit well with him. And I get it because he's a human being. I'm going to tell Boris, hey, get me 1 year, $35 million in that bandbox 90 miles away in Philly, and let me beat the crap out of the Mets for 1 year. I'd almost start to change my mindset,
BT,
and just go bonkers with a better team, by the way.
From his perspective, sure, let him do what he wants. But what if the Mets landed Guerrero Jr.?
Oh, he's just a better player. But
forget about even the better player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young star.
I know.
And he may be overrated to a certain extent. Like we talked about his numbers.
He's had some fluctuations, but he's much better than Pete. It's not even close.
Dude.
Vlad's one of the top. I mean, Vlad's an absolute horse. He's a beast. He's a beast.
Lindor. Soto. Vlad, now we're talking. Now we're talking. Now it's Yankee-like. It's Dodger-like. Now we're talking. Mm. And not only are we talking young superstars. Again, am I getting ahead of ourselves? I mean, maybe, sure. But, hey, I'm just reading the column from Andy Martino. The Mets did check in. That's a fact. They did check in on the Blue Jays. It's a fact that the Blue Jays have not extended Vladimir Guerrero Jr. yet. It is a fact, as of now, he will be a free agent at the end of the year. This is a possibility. You tell me, Mets fans, Hoff, or any of you listening out there, as much as you want Pete back, and I'm one of them who wanted Pete back, would you rather have Pete Alonso or Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I mean, I don't even think it's close.
No, there's no need to even answer that. It's obvious. You know, and you said you're going to have...
what kind of bets are we going to make there?
what, Goldschmidt versus Vladdy?
Yeah. Hey, oh, man. It sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, well, not yet, it's not. I think, though, that the... I got so many things going through my head. This is so interesting to me. This is really going in a lot of different directions.
Possibility of Vlad?
No.
Pete,
along the lines. I guess it wasn't, you know, earth rattling, but it'll come back to me at some point. This is just nuts. Like, I do believe, and I've always hinted at this, the two things, you know, I thought Cohen would make sure that it got done, and I guess he still could, but based on the report, he's not. So that's one thing that's very interesting. And then the other thing is, and I've always said that this is a bit of a possibility, you know, you keep playing this game here, and Pete's going to grow disenchanted, and he's going to become spiteful. And when you become spiteful, maybe you do something that you would have done a month or so ago, and you go sign somewhere that you wouldn't sign. And that's fine if you get Vladdy. But if you don't get Vladdy, then that's really a problem.
Correct. The Vladdy scenario is a home run. The Pete is, okay, well, at least you got Pete back. But there is still a possibility you don't get Vladdy and you don't get Pete if he does that. And then they got to figure it out. Then they better have another option.
Well, that's a then it's a different tone for the Mets. Because now, right now, we're talking about the Mets thinking like, you know, Yankees, Dodgers, bigger picture. We love them for that. But if you can think like that, but if you don't execute that, well, now you get hit hard.
Well, in their mind.
I mean, if you don't start off well, if you don't play well.
In their mind, right, exactly. In their mind, they're going to say, okay, well, we still got Soto over Pete. It's still better. We still expect more from Alvarez next year. Let's try some of the younger guys out, see what happens. If they don't get the job done at the deadline, we'll go out and get a bat, see what happens in free agency next year. Potentially, we'll talk. Like, there still are alternatives. I don't love them as much going into the year because I'm impatient.
Yeah, you want to start the season loaded. You got Soto. You know, go win 95 games. That's the thought when you got them.
But it does show that the Mets have big time vision here with all options and aren't done just sitting on, oh, well, we got the one superstar in Juan Soto. Potentially more if they think those options are better. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
What's the time?
It's time to get air.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's the time?
Crank it up, Banky. Let's go.
What's the time? It's time to get
out. God, I love this song. BT
Sal. A little scratch acts right there. Hang on. A waste of my time.
Time to get. It's time to get Vlad. It's time to get Vlad. BT and Sal back on the Fan. That's what we're talking. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as a possibility for the Mets. Obviously, Pete Alonso as well. Off the latest from Andy Martino of SNY, who's been all over it last night on Hot Stove on SNY, and then today with a column for SNY.TV. With all this great information, BT, does shed another light or some insight into what's going on between the Mets and Pete Alonso.
There's a lot going on. I think it's very, it is insightful. I think it's also something that I think the Met fan needed right now. Like, there's only so many days, you know, you can text your buddies or call up a radio show or even us, have a conversation about Pete without an ounce of more information. So it comes at a really good time. It gives you better thought as to what the Mets are thinking. Now, the next thing that I would like to hear is, what's Pete really truly thinking? Like, how amenable is Pete to leaving? How much does he love the Mets? How much is he willing to take a bit of a hometown discount, if he is? And if he's not, I don't begrudge him. I don't have to leave money on the table. I get it.
I do think Pete should speak. Wouldn't it be great to hear from him?
I mean, yeah, but you know Boris is saying, don't say a word.
I know, but still.
Yeah, it would be.
And again, we've heard these things over the course of the last couple of years anyway. Like, I know the idea that Mets fans want to believe that, you know, the homegrown guy wants to stay here. And I'm not saying he does or doesn't, but I've been told before over the years that he was more than open to going somewhere else. Like, you'd want the best offer. And I would think at this particular point, to your point, BT, earlier, that the longer this goes on, the less happy Pete's going to be. And then even if it's a 3-year deal, the Mets are saying no, like, the more annoyed he's going to be. I don't know about you, but if I were Pete, I'd be saying, you know what, thanks, but no thanks, screw you. I'll go get a year, 1-year deal and bet on myself. Now, the difference is, if I bet on myself, I'd hope to have better results than what Pete did a year ago when he had a chance to break the bank. If Pete Alonso hit 280 last year with 40 homers and drove in 100 runs, this would be a non-starter. We'd all be saying, you got to sign him back. I don't care that he's 30 years old. Yep. Sign him up. He didn't. He's coming off of 2 down years. He turned down a bigger offer a couple of years ago from a different regime, which might have been a mistake in hindsight for both the Mets to offer that and for Pete to turn it down. And now he really doesn't have much to choose from. But if I'm him, I'm starting to get ticked off where I'm going to go somewhere else for 1 year.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's a possibility as well. I do think that you overplay how him not being happy could adversely impact his performance. Now, I get it. You know, they say happy wife, happy life, and those things matter, right? But, you know, take us. You know, as much as we have great things going on at the Fan and other, you know, whether it's FanDuel or you with Surfside, some other stuff, like, we have other business relations than just our job. Right. But not everything's perfect. Like, there's things that we want that we don't get. There's things that we don't expect that we do get. So it's not always a perfect world business-wise here. But once the mic opens, you do your job and you're immersed in the moment and you love it. So, like, when Pete Alonso gets in the batter's box and Juan Soto's on base in front of him 42% of the time, he's going to hit.
I know, but he didn't hit in a walk year last year.
Soto wasn't there. Lindor didn't bat leadoff all season.
And look, maybe he does the 1 year, you know, with an opt-out, whatever, 2 years, 1 year with an opt-out, and he has a prove-it deal, and with Soto, he's better in the lineup. Maybe he has the right mindset, or he can't let those things go. And he wants to let them go, but every time he shows up to the ballpark, he's looking at Nimmo saying, he got this long deal.
Yeah.
He's looking at Soto saying, this guy got this. This team didn't even really want me for outside of a year. Like, I don't even really want to be here under these circumstances. Like, sometimes it's hard to ignore that and just get in the batter's box and do what you need to do. Now, he's got to do it to be a professional and to ultimately get what he wants. You got to do that. But sometimes it's hard to ignore that reality. Like, it is clear that the Mets may like Alonso as a person and they may want him back and value him to a certain extent, but it's nowhere near what Pete thinks he's worth or what he was hoping to get.
It's painfully clear. And I think the quicker that Pete can realize that, then maybe he could attack this a little different emotionally. If he doesn't realize that, and Pete's still in the clouds thinking he's going to, you know, get 6-7 years for the Mets, then he's out of his mind.
Right.
He's going to be mad.
Well, they know that.
Because the gap is going to be so wide, and his disappointment is going to be so apparent that then maybe you could be right. But I think if he's just somewhat realistic, I think he'll be fine.
If he gets less than whatever his dollar amount is, and that's the key here, because we've heard the rumblings about the 3-for-90, and we heard about Boris going to the Mets with a 3-year deal with opt-outs. What's the dollar figure?
I think it's 100. I think he's got to get over 100.
Right, so you're talking about over 30. Now, I think that would make him happy because at least he could justify, I'm making the most per year for any first baseman.
Yes,
it's a high number.
Yeah.
Maybe then the Mets can say, all right, well, we'll do that, but we'll do it at 2 years. Not three, or certainly not four.
See, at that point, you're nitpicking. Because if it's 2 years versus three, that still precludes you from getting Vlad potentially. So it should be no years, or it should be three. Like,
or one.
Or yeah, you know what I'm saying. But like to go from three to two, that doesn't satisfy the Tucker to be open for that, or Vladdy. I mean,
we haven't heard the numbers yet, which I'm sure we'll find out at some point. Whether it be Duquette, whether it be Martino.
Meaning what Pete's asking for?
Yes.
Yeah, I need that.
Or definitively what the Mets have offered.
Yeah, I believe it's in the 390. I believe it's about 390.
So he's asking for $10 million more? Then if you believe the 390, and again, I was told...
Ballpark belief.
I was told that that was the case, but I'm starting to doubt that...
Go ahead.
...what I was told.
Okay.
Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Let's say that that is the case.
Why doesn't it make sense, though?
Because where is Pete at? Versus
he could be at 5 years, 140.
No. 3 years. Remember, the report was that Pete went to the Mets.
Oh, the new one. The revised one.
So that's true. Based off of that 3 year report,
yeah.
How, like, if it's 3 for 100, Pete was at, you don't think the Mets would have gone 10 million more? Like, or you don't think Pete would have just come down?
Well, maybe 30 is 37 and a half, and it's 21, 22, 22 and a half million dollars extra more than just, you know what I mean? Like, if instead of him going to them at 3 years and the Mets offer, if it's right or if it's accurate, is 3 years at 90 total, well, maybe Pete, on the concession with 3 years, maybe he's looking for almost 40 a year.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe that's true.
So that's what I want to find out.
I think that's probably true.
Okay, so if it's 40, you're talking about a billion.
You know, you're not giving him 40.
Right.
You go down to 36. Find common ground.
Of course you're not giving him. I wouldn't even give him 35.
What's the difference?
What's the difference at that point? He's not even worth 30.
I hear you, but what is the difference? 34 and a half versus 30. What's the difference?
Here's where I'll meet you in the middle. If the difference, let's say 35 a year, which gets you to 105 over the course of 3 years,
yep.
Which I would in theory do, if it does not take the Mets out of the running for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. possibility. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to or not.
See, we're not going to know that. They're not going to come out and say that overtly. But you're going to have to just,
if it does, well, then that's why I was saying, well, just go to 4-120 and get it done already because you'd think he'd take that. But if my 4-120 takes the Mets out of play for Vlad, mm-hmm. then I'm not doing 4-120. So it's hard for us to speculate with the information that we got.
Yep.
Under the circumstance of Vlad still in play, then I'd give Pete 4-120. If Vlad out of play, then I wouldn't. Is Vlad still in play at 390? Then I'd stick to that. Like, at what point does Vlad become out of play for the Mets? That would be, to me, the determining factor. Fred is in Monmouth County. What's up, Fred?
Hey, how are you? I was curious, would you guys ever consider, and I'm against trading the prospects, Vientos to the Blue Jays for Vlad, sign an extension, pass on Pete, then sign Bregman to play third base?
No.
I'm not getting rid of Vientos.
And thank you for the call. It's too much.
It's not a bad thought. I mean, it's pretty creative, but I'm not doing that.
Well, you're also...
Number one, you could buy Vlad, maybe, so why would you get rid of Vientos to get Vlad?
Twofold to that, and you're spending on Bregman. So let's just eliminate that we would not spend on Bregman long term.
I wouldn't for the Mets.
Okay, what if it comes down to this? The Blue Jays say, we like the package. We need Vientos to get a deal done by spring training. You send us Vientos, we send you Vlad by spring training. You're the Mets perspective.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. Because the idea would be to be pairing Vlad, mm-hmm. Soto, Lindor with Vientos here.
I wouldn't
here.
Do that. He's too young. He's too good. It's too interesting.
I wouldn't do it either, and then maybe you can't get it, but then you take your chance on waiting until the offseason.
It's true.
Now, if he were locked up beyond this year, maybe a different story, mm-hmm. even though I'd still have my hesitation about that because of what Vientos proved to be last year in the clutch, no less,
in the postseason. I'm a big fan, and I'm a believer.
I'm not giving
he's got
him
energy.
Up. I'm not giving him up for a guy in his. He's got confidence.
Hits
he's
the
got
ball
swagger.
Hard regularly. Nah, he's going. I'm not getting rid of him.
No. Now, you could say, all right, well, you trade Vientos. Sign, trade for Vlad, sign him up, and then bring Pete back. And you
trade
have.
Trade for Vlad, bring back Pete, Vientos to Toronto in this deal.
And Pete DH, Vlad first base.
Who's playing third?
Yeah, well, I mean, they have to have one of the younger guys there.
Can Mauricio play third?
Yeah, I mean,
Acuna? I mean, maybe not Acuna, but yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I don't love that.
I'm still not doing it.
I'm not giving up Vientos.
Nope.
Just wait for Vlad to hit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's almost like what the Knicks did with Carmelo. If the Knicks would have shown more restraint and Carmelo wasn't so greedy, they could have bought Carmelo, for lack of a better term, buy and get free agency, and not giving up everything that they gave as they just stripped down the parts of the team. So when Carmelo got there, he had nobody.
Right. Still looking back at that, though, like Mozgov, Tyson, Wilson Chandler.
Wilson Chandler was in there.
Oh, Danilo.
That was my boy. God, yeah. I like Gallinari almost as much as I like Zach.
Oh, God.
I know. Get down.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls on Pete Alonso. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You know, you got me sucked in now, BT. Last night I went home. I realized I didn't have Peacock, but I was following along with the St. John's game, all night long on the scoreboard. And it was an ugly first half. Obviously, they come back and get a win. I'm looking forward to going next week. You invited Hoff and I out. We're going to be at the Garden for Xavier St. John's. They are on what? Out to their best start since 85 or something. It has been a nice start here for your Johnny.
It's been a phenomenal start. I'm actually looking at the back page of the Post here, and it says, just like old times. And there's a picture of Kadari Richmond, for those of you who don't know, transferred from Seton Hall. And he's blocking a shot, and it says underneath it, Johnny's beat Georgetown in vintage rock fight to post best league start since last century. Think about this. St. John's, yeah, the last time they won this many games through 18 games was 85, okay? They've won 10 of 11. They're 6-1 on the Big East, best they've had since Ron Artest in 98-99. And they are 15-3, and the three losses have been by 5 points combined. And I went back, and I knew it was something along the, you'll love this because you love Patino. And hopefully you get to meet him when you guys come to the game.
Yeah. We've had him on, but I haven't met him in person.
I mean, like, really meet him. Like, get to know him a little bit. So,
well, did you hook us up with seats, or where are we sitting? You got us up in the...
Yeah, did I hook you? You're sitting on the floor, bro.
What?
You're sitting on the court.
Hop, we're sitting on the floor for the Johnny.
Isn't that illegal? Like, don't they... They're going to arrest us if we're on the floor, aren't we?
No, come on, Hop. What are you going to...
What?
We'll be sitting on a chair with our feet on the floor.
I've never done this before. I have no idea.
Sneakers will be touching hardwood, put it that way, vodkas in hand.
I've been there before for the Big East tournament, but never for a Johnny's game.
What, Mike, on the floor. Back in the day
we had credentials.
Yeah. No, you guys are sitting right on the floor, like literally first row, like Spike Lee floor.
You know, I always reference the Dievendorf game. Remember UConn?
All the overtimes. Eric Dievendorf. That was crazy. That's the game you went to? That's a great game.
I know. It was historic.
That was all time, dude.
That was fantastic.
Was that
anyway,
six overtimes?
Five, six, whatever it was. Six. I just remember trying to get out of there because the parking garage was going to close. It was going so long. But I'm excited for St. John's basketball.
Yeah, you're coming next week against Xavier.
Yep, we're going to hang out as a show. Can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. The crowds are growing. Last night they had just about 13,000, which for a Tuesday night at the Garden is good. You know, you go back to some of the other coaches, you know, you might get 6 or 7,000, 18,000, 19,000 this past Saturday against Nova. And as I start to say, I dug up this, the press release from when Rick was introduced at the press conference. When he took the job, this was March of 2023. And even some of the pictures, like Louis was there, it actually really hit me in a good way. I mean, kind of sad with Louis, but in a great way. And Rick said this. He goes, quote, "St. John's is going to be back. I absolutely guarantee that." And look at them.
He's a beast.
He
man.
Is
I love
one
that.
Of Sal. Hey, you know, Wooden, Calhoun, Coach K, Dean, you know, Dean Smith. He's one of the absolute best coaches of all time.
You know what I love about him most? And I was dead wrong on this, and I'm mad at myself last year for getting sucked into it. Remember, he was getting a lot of crap. Was it last year? Yeah, it had to be
for
last
what?
Year.
For what he said at the press conference?
When he was ripping one of the players.
Yeah, when he said they're too slow, they didn't have lateral. That was after the Seton Hall game when they blew a big lead. I was there. I was in the room when he said it.
And for some reason at the time, I forget the exact circumstance, but I remember feeling like I thought it was lame and too much for him to go at college kids like that.
I remember you saying that.
But I forgot that it's not, and he brought this point up when he countered everybody who was ripping them. They're not college kids anymore.
Nope, they're pros.
Yeah. And plus, I just... Like, fundamentally, my belief is old school, hard nose, no nonsense, accountability. So that's why I love a coach like Patino. And clearly, he was right, not only for what he did then, knowing what it takes to get a program going in the right direction. And now you've seen the results follow this year. Now, look, I will say, Coach, there's a long way to go.
Yeah, sure. He's not the one saying it. I'm the one saying it. He's just kind of...
And BT, there's a long way to go. And like, minimum...
Dude, 20 years I've been waiting for stuff like this. Can I not have a little fun? Jeez. I mean, I started the year Mike Jarvis got fired. Can I at least... Yeah. That's 2003.
Mike Jarvis.
First year I did this stuff.
Got to get to the tournament.
Oh, I'm sure they're listening at St. John's. If they don't get to the tournament, it is a colossal, unacceptable implosion.
Minimum one win in the tournament?
It's about seeding. It's about, by the way, it's about trying to win the Big East regular season. Okay. It's about trying to win the Big East tournament crown. Like, things are in play. I'm not saying they're definitely going to, but, you know, and I was looking at the numbers. So they're 15-3, and going into last night, I want to say they had 14 games to go plus the Big East tournament. Like, you got to, and I know most St. John's fans are starting to view it this way. You got to start looking at this team as, forget about like 21 wins and barely getting in and sweating out Selection Sunday. It's a 25-win team. This is a team that's got, now, they're a little banged up. Davon Smith, their outstanding point, did not play last night, and that was a big problem. They just couldn't get easy buckets. He's going to play Saturday. I think he's going to play this weekend against Seton Hall. But they got the hole on Saturday, and I respect Seton Hall. It's going to be a rock fight. They're very down. They're going to have the Kadari thing there. It's going to be a little tension in the air. But St. John's will be favored by double figures. Then the Xavier game that you guys are coming to, they'll be favored by probably double figures. Like, they're supposed to keep winning, and I think that they will. And it's fun. And, you know, St. John's. Listen, the thing about St. John's, and I've always said this, when St. John's wins, they get treated like a pro team. And whether it's the back page of the papers, obviously sellouts at the Garden, you know, big splashy press conferences, they're winning. So if you've been waiting for a good St. John's team, I don't have to tell you this, you know. Yeah. It's Patino. Jump in. What are you waiting for?
No, I'm excited about it as a fringe college.
Even Francesa showing up.
Oh, well, I mean,
he was in Queens a couple of weeks ago. He never used to go. I never saw him.
Really?
What do you mean, no?
Come on.
I've been there forever.
Oh, okay.
Now,
he just didn't want to come down and say hello to you.
Well, that's possible. Yeah. Here's what I would see, Mike. I saw Mike a couple times. I don't think Mike would refute this. I'm not talking out of school. Mike would go to say hi to his boy Jay Wright. Like, Mike would go and watch Calhoun. Like, he wouldn't go to watch. Now he's going to watch St. John's. Now he's invested in his alma mater. Mike is back on the train.
Boy, I wonder. You just made me think of something. Maybe we'll be sitting next to Mike on the floor Tuesday night.
I don't think. Look at you kissing Mike's ass. Does it really matter if Mike is there? You're on the court.
Well, man, you know.
Hey, Mike can get his own tickets. I got you floor seats. You know. And by the way, I hope that Mike's not on the court, because if he is, you won't say a word to Hoff.
Yeah, right.
You'll be a Mike's rear end all night.
Mike and his sons, of course. And by the way,
you want to do a pod with the sons? Come on, let's talk Johnny's now.
By the way, we should do what we did a year ago. We were out at Stout ahead of the Big East.
Oh, I would imagine we'll do
that
something
was St. John Seton Hall, right? Was that
that was the first game of the Big East tournament. Yeah, our show from there, and we walked over. We watched. I did the game. You watched it.
Yeah,
you were there.
I want to do that again. I love the Big East tournament.
We're
the feel in the city is great for that.
It's the best.
Let's get back to the calls here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Joe is on Staten Island talking about something we talked about earlier with Aaron Boone and the BT and Sal pull your card. Joe, you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is Joe on the car phone. You hear me all right?
Yes, we got you. Go ahead.
All right. So you guys... you guys think that you're going to beat Boone?
Yes.
This guy, he grew up in baseball. He knows these guys through his father, his brother, himself. He knows a lot of the guys who are going to be the answers to the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I think he's going to myrtleize you.
Joe, we're going to wax him.
Myrtleize.
Listen, Joe, I will give you this much. I just conferred with my friends in the desert. Boone's minus 180 going into the game. He's the heavy favorite.
But don't you think...
Well, his point is right. Like, there might be an obscure guy that we don't know that Boone actually had a catch with on the field, who was like the fourth relief pitcher for whomever.
But remember, in the game, whatever year he chooses, it's the player on the team for that year's card, which also could be a detriment to Boone.
That's
because remember, we get a guy like, let's say, Brett Butler. Right?
Yeah, he bounced right.
Okay.
Jeez. Giants, Dodgers, right. I mean, you name it.
Cleveland. So, 1986 tops, he's on Cleveland. So now Boone, who knows more about all these players, we would never dispute that because he was around the game.
Yeah.
All these different teams could be going in his head. And he's like, God, 83 tops, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's true.
What year that.
Like, getting his own head start. Now, he's also the favorite.
Talking smack to you, Boone. We're taking you down.
It's like him playing the Guardians in round one. Well, you got pressure, man. You better beat this team. Like, he's supposed to beat us, you know? So, I do have to propose something. I think we need to flush through this as a show, but I'll just give you a quick snippet now. So, I think that the headline's got to be BT and Sal take down Boone. I don't think it should be you versus Boone and then me versus Boone. I think you and I should be a team because he does have an advantage. I really think it should be 2-on-1.
No, I like the...
Look at you going for the glory by yourself.
No, it's not glory. Like, you would have your chance to take him down in a certain year.
Understood.
And then I would have a chance to go at him
in
understand. A certain year.
But, like, think about this. Do you think there's a better chance? Now, maybe it's the same.
The two of us working together?
If we work together, we're gonna destroy him. He's going to tap out. We're going to wax him.
I will tell you, by 83, I would be screwed in that because you would have to carry... Like, I'm not...
So I'll make sure we don't do 83. Well, I'm not even as good as 83.
$60 on 83 cards. You better be doing 83.
Right. But why'd you get 83? I never pick 83.
No, because you
I'm always 84, 85, 86, 87.
Because I think you and him would do well with 83.
Yeah, but you got to play to my strength. Don't play to his strength. I never do 83.
I'm saying, yo, no, but
have I ever done an 83 pack with you?
No, because I never got them because they were too expensive.
Exactly. You didn't get them for a reason because I'm better at 84, 85.
No, you worried about losing?
Why? Well, you setting me up to fail.
I'm not saying you have to fail. I'm saying you have to succeed. You're good with 83, 84, 85.
How do you know? We've never done 83.
Because that's your time frame.
I know, but I'm telling you, who knows their time frame better, me or you, when
right,
it comes
so,
to me?
So what is your first year?
I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't crush 83, but I do think fully, full disclosure.
84 your first year?
No, I think 84 would be just a little bit better. A little bit.
And 85 even better?
Money. Donnie's the MVP. I'm not losing that. MVP.
Right, so for me, our crossover, 85, 86, 87, 88, but then you start to peter out a little bit.
A little bit, I do.
89,
yeah.
90.
Come on.
Boone said he's good from 80 to 90.
Then I discovered Nicole Eggert on Charles in Charge. And, sorry, the utility and infielder for the Pirates meant nothing all of a sudden.
I have some stuff there and going through my mind that I'm filtering out that I'm going to leave alone because I love my job. BT and Sal on the Fan. We come back. We'll get to more of your calls. 888. Remember, talking about Pete Alonso off the column that Andy Martino wrote for SNY.TV, that the Mets have inquired about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They're not going to extend from their line. They're going to keep firm on their offer with Alonso, whether it be in years or the dollar value, and keeping other options open. So we'll take your calls on that. BT and Sal on the Fan.